Amen. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 4. I've got a word from the Lord for you today. It's found in Philippians chapter 4. How many of you know that indeed what they just sang about is about as powerful a message as can be declared? Amen. That in the name of Jesus, all of our chains are broken. Everything that has kept us bound. That's why it is so important as we come into worship to understand the power of God's word and how it is outlined and what he would have us do. Philippians chapter 4. I'm going to start reading in verse number 4 this morning. We're going to read verses 4 through 9 as we open up. Will you advance me, please? When I'm doing like that, that means this thing ain't working. There we go. Hold on. I'll tell you what, let's just open up with this passage here, and let's seek God for a moment on this matter. It says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all our understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Father, we thank you, Lord, today for your word that has gone forth. I thank you, God, that today, Father, you are here to break the chains of bondage that we all must deal with. There is not anyone in here, Lord, that does not have some level of bondage in their life. Lord, we believe you, just like John's gospel said. We are following you. We are the church. We love you. But we also know that there are things, there are worries, there are addictions, there are broken hearts, there are unhealed wounds, there is sickness in body, there is so many things, blessed Father, that have kept us bound up. But today, I believe you have given us a word that we may be delivered from these things. Open our hearts that this word may find good ground. Open our ears that we may hear you, Holy Spirit. And give us wisdom that we may apply it in our lives. And for this, we give you all praise and glory in Jesus' precious name. And the church said, amen. Amen. Go ahead and give God one more hand clap of praise. I want to encourage you to do this. I want you to memorize Philippians 4, verse 4. It's very easy. We actually have a song that has this lyric. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. That's it. I'm going to tell you right now that the majority of the battles that you are facing in your family, in your finances, in your emotions, in your spiritual walk, the majority of these things can be overcome if you will understand the power of Philippians 4, verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. Well, bless God, I don't feel like rejoicing right now. Well, it sounds like you're defeated. How's that working out for you? Why not throw the devil a curveball and just try what I'm saying and see if it won't change your circumstances? Why? Because the Bible says God inhabits the praise of his people. When you begin to praise God, God shows up. And you know what? God is light. God is life. God is love. God is joy. God is peace. When God starts showing up, all the other things got to go the other way. You ever notice when Jesus shows up on shore and all of a sudden the demons are going the other way? They're jumping into pigs. They're going off cliffs. They're getting out of town because they can't be where Jesus is. I want you to know today, if you'll begin to praise God in the middle of your storm, if you'll begin to praise God in the middle of your problems, amen. God will show up and show off in your life. Amen? If you believe it, give God praise. Some of them are like, yeah. But some of you were shouting amen because before I was done, and I'll tell you why, because you've done what I'm saying, and you know God shows up, and you know it changes the situation. I've titled this message, Always and Again. Paul said, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. You know what that means? That means there are two times, according to the Bible, that you are supposed to praise God. When you feel like it and when you don't.
Amen.
Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. I know you may have come in here and you're facing some problems, but God hasn't changed. He is not changed by your circumstances. He changes your circumstances. Amen. Our praise of God is not based on how we feel or how the world is treating us.
Right.
Our praise of God is based on who He is.
Amen.
And that's why we could say rejoice in the Lord always. Tell your neighbor, always.
Always.
Now tell him, do it again. You know, the word rejoice is found 192 times in the Bible. We rejoice before the Lord our God. We rejoice in His salvation, in His goodness, in His mercy. We rejoice when we sing. We rejoice because our names are written in heaven.
Amen.
We rejoice in the light. We rejoice in the glory of God. We rejoice in Christ. But we also rejoice in our sufferings. Colossians 1:24. Look it up and you'll find I'm telling truth. Even when things are bad. Do we praise God then? Oh, especially praise God then. Because if something bad is happening, that means a blessing's on its way. Because your God's not going to leave you forsaken. He will work all things together. How do I know that? Let me tell you a little something about the man who wrote Philippians 4:4. His name was Paul, a mighty apostle unto God. Let me tell you about when he wrote it. He didn't just get off some big evangelism crusade. He didn't just get paid an advance of $100,000 to write the newest, latest, greatest book. That would have his picture on it instead of Jesus's. Lord, I lift my name on high. I'm sorry, did I digress? I didn't mean to do that. No, that's not where Paul was. Paul was in prison when he wrote the book of Philippians. He was awaiting trial in Rome, which will lead to his death, his execution, and he knows it. He knows he's going to die. So he's sitting on death row. And what is his words of wisdom?
Rejoice.
Don't do what I did. Do it differently. Learn from my mistake. Oh, no. You know what he said? Rejoice in the Lord. On death row, always. All right, well, I praise God. Is that enough? No, again.
Come on.
Praise him again.
Amen.
What are you talking about, Paul? You're on death row. You don't get it. God is with me, and He can either deliver me or He's going to take me to heaven. Either way, I'm a winner because God is for me. And if God be for me, who can be against me? I'm trying to tell someone today, quit telling God how big your problem is and start telling your problem how big your God is. He will use the words joy and rejoice 14 times in this letter written from death row. Now we sit here and we say, well, I just don't feel like praising today. It's not a matter of how we feel. But if you want to win a battle in your life, if you want God to show up and show up, let me tell you this. If you come into the house of God, let me just drop a nugget of duh on us. Okay, because this was a dumb moment for me when God showed me this. I was walking around looking like I was sucking on a licorice lollipop. You know, I just had that look on my face. Now, none of you have ever been in this position, I'm sure, but I was having a bad week. And I was doing my little gloom, despair, and agony on me. Anybody remember Hee Haw? Deep, dark depression and excessive misery. I was in it. I was having a little pity party.
Okay.
Nobody wanted to show up, so I had one for myself.
Amen.
Nobody loved me, so I was thinking about eating worms and all that good stuff. And I said, God, it was stinking thinking, you're right. And I said, God, why don't you do something about this? If you show up, you can change this. And the Spirit of God spoke to me and said, oh, yeah, if I show up, it'll change it. But I ain't coming into that stinking thinking. He said, I ain't joining your pity party. I'm ready to have some fun.
Come on.
I'm ready to rejoice. I created life and light. I'm all about joy unspeakable and full of glory. You're all doomed, despair, and full of gory. I'm not going to hang out with you. Oh, come on now. Some of you come into the house of God, and you know God can change your situation. But here's the deal. If you want to get somebody into your house and you invite them to a party, you might want to clean your house up. You might want to have some fun events going on. You might want to have some entertainment, some good food. If they show up and you're sitting there clipping your toenails and the dishes haven't been done in 3 weeks and you act like you didn't even want them there in the first place, and as soon as they show up, you say, sit down, I'm going to tell you how everything's so wrong for me. What do you think they're going to do? Come on, I'm trying to drop a theological bombshell on somebody. We got to start, hey, if you want God to show up in your situation, you got to invite him. And the way you invite him is say, look, I know I'm in a bad spot, but I know I serve an awesome God.
Amen.
And I'm not going to focus on my situation. I'm going to focus on who God is. I'm going to show you here in Philippians 4, four ways to get your victory.
Amen.
I'm going to show you four ways to obtain that wonderful peace. Now, we ain't going to sing the song because we're going to celebrate today, but you remember that old song, peace, peace, wonderful peace, flowing down from the heavens above. Makes you just want to feel like a little cherub flying. Oh, anybody ever need peace like that sometimes? Where you just like lay your head on a pillow that's a cloud and you just let the angel sing you to sleep. Oh. That's such a beautiful thing. You know, sometimes we get so used to things being a mess that we're not happy unless we're mad. Oh, I'm gonna have to get back on my message. I'm going to mess somebody up. I want to show you four ways to praise. Here is the foundation. God inhabits the praise of his people. If you will begin to praise God, he will show up. And when God shows up, changes happen. God don't even have to say anything. Just him being there will cause things to happen. The issue is, how do you get God to show up? The problem in the church today is we know that God can show up and change it. We just don't know how to give God the invitation. We don't know how to bring God in. Tell me if I'm lying with that. You know, a lot of praise teams are like, you go to the old farms and you got to get that old well pump and you got to pump it and you got to pump it and you got to pump it and you got to pump it, trying to get water. Sometimes it ain't till the end of praise and worship that people are actually starting to sing. And then they leave and they wonder why they didn't encounter God. You never invited him. And God's a gentleman. He ain't going to show up where he's not invited. So I'm going to show you how to invite God into your situation. I'm going to show you how to get God to enter smack dab into the middle of your mess. There's four ways in Philippians 4. It's easy to remember. Philippians 4:4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Philippians 4:4. There's four ways to do it. You'll find it in Philippians 4. Kind of neat how God worked that out, ain't it?
Amen.
Almost like he knew what he was doing.
Come on.
Four ways to invite God into your situation. Well, number one, you know what? Take that thing down. I ain't even going to follow that. Just turn that thing off. Let's just go without a net today. Is that all right?
Come on, Pastor.
Let me start by saying this. The very first way you can get God into your situation is to be calm. Tell your neighbor, calm down. Chill out. Chill out. That should be a theological phrase. Chill. It's all good. If you keep reading in Philippians 4, you'll come to verse 6. Paul puts it this way, be anxious for nothing. In everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Be anxious for nothing. All right, so first of all, whatever it is that you brought in here, whatever you're struggling with, whatever you're worried about, chill out. Hey, God's not surprised. It didn't catch him off guard this morning. God doesn't have a little ticker at the bottom of his TV that's letting him know breaking news as it happens in your life. He didn't get a news alert that all of a sudden your car blew up or your job has been put on hiatus or your doctor's report just came in and it's bad. He knew. It's okay. Look at your name. Some of you are looking at me like you're ready to punch me in the mouth. Hey, don't get mad at me. I'm just a messenger. I don't make the snowballs. I just throw them. God told me to tell you today, chill out. He's got it under control.
Amen.
Nothing caught him off guard. He's not surprised by the circumstance you're in.
Amen.
If you're in a mess, he may have also tried to tell you to avoid it. But that's another message. We'll preach that another day. I'm just telling you that sometimes your mess is of your making. Sometimes it's not. Sometimes someone else made it. Oh, did I say that out loud? Sometimes it's just life. It's just life.
Amen.
And you know what? I know it's a serious situation. I know it's got you burdened, but here's what I'm trying to tell you. Be anxious for nothing. Because fear eradicates faith. You're focusing on the wrong element here. Instead of focusing on your problem, focus on your God. I shared on Friday night that more than 19 million Americans are classified as chronic worriers. They carry almost every day for at least 6 months or longer a worry about something. 80% will become depressed and stay depressed for years. Do you know that America and Canada combined comprise more than 85% of all medical purchases for antidepressants? And we are the richest nation in the world. And yet we're worried about everything under the sun. We're anxious about everything. And here's the kicker. Ivy League studies have shown that 85% of the things we worry about never happen. They never happen. Oh, I'm worried. What if this job falls apart? And it doesn't. What if so-and-so is mad at me? And they're not. We worry about things that never come to pass. Let me put it to you this way. You ever have one of those things where you heard about somebody felt some way, and so you said, you know what, when I see them, I'm going to tell them this, and then they're going to bring this up. When they bring this up, I'm going to bring this up to them, and I'm going to point this out. And if they go there, if they decide to go there, they're going to wish they hadn't, because I'm going to let them know. You understand me? I'm going to let them know. And then you meet them on the next day, and you see them, and you have a great lunch, and nothing ever happened. And so you spent a whole day pulling your hair out, getting ready to have a conversation that's never going to take place.
Amen.
It is. My God, we stress out about stuff that don't even take place. Wow. Be calm. As I said on Friday, if ifs and buts were candies and nuts, every day would be Christmas. We're plagued by what if. What if the bank says no? How are we going to make this happen? What if this doesn't work out? How will we survive? What if I don't get the promotion? How are we going to pay the bills? What if we fail? Hey, let me give you some word of wisdom here. You're only going to go through this thing one time. God wants you to go through it happy. He wants you to live life, have an abundant life, have it to the fullest, have joy and peace, have a good time in life. Chill out. And if you're causing your own stress on those things, stop. Okay? Okay? Now, here's the deal. Half of you ain't going to do what I'm saying, and you're going to schedule counseling with me in the next month. Because you're going to be so stressed out that it's carried over into your family, and now your marriage is on the rocks, and you've lost your sobriety again, and you're at threat of going to jail or losing your job or whatever the case might be. And you know what I'm going to tell you when you sit down in my office? Chill out. Don't worry about it. Trust in the God that you have. Sorrow looks back. Worry looks around. Faith looks up. Sorrow looks back. Faith looks up. Worry looks around. Faith looks up. look up, look up. Look up knowing that God said what he meant, and he meant what he said. If he said you can have it, you can have it. If he said you can do it, you can do it. If he said you can overcome it, you can overcome it. If he said he'll deliver you, he'll deliver you. If he said he'll heal you, he will heal you. Don't worry. The word worry only appears 8 times in the Bible. All 8 times Jesus speaks it. And every time he says the word worry, it is preceded by the words, do not. Do you understand? Just like the Ten Commandments said, thou shalt not commit adultery. It says, do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Jesus said, okay, do not worry. It's a commandment. Man, I'm making some people mad. But I ain't going to worry about it. Because God told me to preach it. It's all good. I'm going to leave here. I'm going to make some chicken on the grill. I'm going to enjoy this beautiful day, and I ain't going to worry about it. I'm not sure if I want to ask what that was that was just said, but don't worry. Here's another thing. This is number two. Number one, be calm. Number two, tell the devil, be quiet.
Amen.
Oh, my Lord in heaven. We listen more to the devil than we listen to God. Later in verse 4, Paul says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, if there's any praise, think on these things. Now, as I said, you know, I've got one of my beautiful young daughters here, right here, seated here. Another one is floating around here somewhere. There she is, right there. One of them is at work, and I don't know where my son is right now. There he is. He's trying to hide. We have 4 kids.
Come on. Don't worry.
The young... Thank you, Lord. They're getting it. Yes. Let me give you a lesson from my 4 kids. The youngest one is 11, but doesn't know she's not a teenager yet. But like the other teenagers, she's getting into that, I don't know, has anyone else here ever had teenagers that all of a sudden kind of cop an attitude? Oh, I'm going to rejoice, but let me get to the point on. Now, I love my kids with all my heart.
Amen.
And I'll try to be calm and quiet, but there's one thing. When there's time, and maybe it's just my upbringing, I don't know, but there's times when tone of voice or what they say to their mother is going to touch that nerve with me.
Yeah.
And here's the one word that really... whatever.
Amen.
Mama be telling them something. She'll be saying, look, you're going to do this. You need to do this. You need to do this. Well, Mama, I don't want to do that. Well, you're going to do that. Well, I want to go here. Well, you're not going to go here because you didn't do your chore. Whatever. Now we're about to have a come to Jesus meeting. Because when that child says whatever, what they're saying is, what you're saying doesn't matter to me. You might as well just be quiet. That's when, oh, no, I ain't going there, brother. That's when Colossians 1 picks up and you rejoice in your sufferings, children. When they take that attitude, whatever, you know how that grates your nerves? Can I tell you that's exactly the attitude God wants you to take with Satan?
Amen.
When you're looking at that situation and God's saying, be calm, I've got this, and the devil's saying, well, what if it falls apart? What if it doesn't come to pass? What if they, and I bet you they said this about you, and I bet you they're telling people about this right now, and I bet you they're on Facebook telling lies about you. You know what God said? Tell the devil... whatever, whatever, just shut up. What you're saying doesn't matter.
Amen.
I'm not going to entertain it. I'm not going to think about it. I'm going to focus on God, on whatever things are true and just and pure and lovely. Amen. If there's a praiseworthy moment, I'm going to think on those things.
Amen.
Let me give you an example of this. In Daniel chapter 6, the king gives the command and they bring Daniel. Daniel will not bow down to the king. They set a trap for him. They say, anybody who prays anyone but the king is going to be thrown in the den of lions. So what does Daniel do? Oh, what am I going to do? I'm supposed to pray to God, but if I pray to God and they hear me pray to God, they're going to know I'm a Christian. They're going to, I might lose my job over this. You know, I've got a pretty good job right now, and people might think, Nope. He walks over to his window, opens it up, looks toward Jerusalem, and says, oh, Lord my God, when I, in awesome wonder, consider all the worlds thy hands have made. And they hear him and they go, aha, we got him now. And he is sentenced to death. And here's what he says. My God can deliver me. I ain't going to worry about it.
Amen.
Now stay with me because we're going to get to point number two. They take him to a den of lions. And if you haven't heard the story, here's how it goes. They throw him into the den of lions. And the Bible says an angel of God shows up and shuts the mouths of the lions. That means the very thing that was looking to devour him. Its jaws were open. Its razor sharp teeth were out there. It was salivating. They were like, ha ha ha, lunch. And you know what God said to the lion? You got to remember what a lion. Peter will later in 1 Peter say, hey, your adversary is like a roaring lion. Satan is like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. He's on the hunt. So here's this lion going, oh, it is Prophet Stew today. We've got the man of God. Bring him down. And right as Daniel is going down, God looks at that lion and says, hey, shut your mouth.
Amen.
I am here to tell you, if you will stay calm, be anxious for nothing, trust in your God. When it looks like you're about to be devoured, God will look at your enemy and say, hey, shut your mouth. Somebody needs to tell the devil to shut his mouth. If your Christianity hasn't led you to a den of lions, it one day will. And here's what happens. The king stays up all night stressed out. He yells into the den the next morning, Daniel, has your God been able to save you? That's exactly what the devil will do to you. Did God really say he'd heal you? Did God really say he'd bless you? Where's your God at now? Hey, Jesus, if you are the Son of God, do this. If you really are a Christian, let me see it. Prove it. Hey, did your God really do what he said he was going to do? And you know what Daniel said? Hey, shut your mouth. My God, he took the thing that was going to destroy me. And I said, hey, Fluffy, I need a pillow. I'm going to sleep good tonight. I'm going to lay right there and I'm doing good. King, how are you doing? And the king said, well, I'm a little nervous right now. I'm here to tell you, you got to focus on your God. Whatever things are true, whatever things, stop with the stinking thinking. Stop worrying about everything.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Look at your neighbor and tell the devil, shut up. I actually had a Christian once come to me after service and say, you know, you shouldn't say shut up from the pulpit. That's very offensive. And I felt like saying, God bless you. But I didn't worry about it. I said, friend, the devil's going to tell you far worse than that.
Come on.
So if I was you, I'd take my advice. Don't argue with the devil. I know I'm getting a little long in the wind here, but let me show you what. Who's got a pen? May I borrow that, please? If I ever want to have a conversation with the devil, this is what I do. I sit down, and I take off my shoe, and I write something on it like, I am still here. Because the devil is under my feet. So if I got anything to say to him, I say, hey, you said my sobriety wouldn't last. I'm still here.
Amen.
You said my family wouldn't make it. but I'm still here. You said that my health wouldn't. I'm still here. And there's nothing you can do about it, devil, because my God is the true and living God. Hallelujah. I'm still here. I should have sank years ago. My body should have gave out years ago. But I'm still here. They said your marriage wouldn't last. Or your sobriety wouldn't last. They said you couldn't get the job. You couldn't make the grade. But I'm still here, devil. He's like that big bad wolf. Some of you heard what I thought about a big bad wolf on Facebook. He goes up to these three little pigs and he's huffing and puffing all the time. And he goes a Little Red Riding Hood. And he dresses up like Granny. If he was so big and bad, why didn't he just eat them when he saw them? Because he didn't have the power to. He was just full of hot air and he had a cross-dressing problem. Hey, if that devil was really so big and bad, he would have destroyed you when he had the chance. But you're still here. Because your God is for you. There ain't nothing he can huff and puff all he wants, but he can't blow my house down. Because I am the temple of the living God. Hallelujah. Nudge your neighbor, tell him I'm still here. God's not done with me yet. I'm going to give you number three here. Whew. You want to start off, you want to be calm. Then you want to tell the devil, be quiet. Now that you're calm and he's quiet, number three, be confident. Amen. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Be confident of this very thing. I can do all things. I want to tell you right now, the road to victory is not straight. There is a curve called failure, a loop called confusion, speed bumps called friends, red lights called enemies, caution lights called family. You will have flats called jobs. But if you have a spare called determination, if your engine is perseverance, if your insurance is faith, if you have a driver named Jesus, you are going to arrive at the place of your victory. Amen. Be confident of this very thing. He that began a good work in you shall complete it in the day of Jesus. Give him praise today. We have a reason to rejoice because I can do all things through Christ. Not some things, not most things. All things. I can get my GED. I can get my college degree. I can get that job. I can get out of debt. I can get that good man or woman. I can fix my marriage. I can be the parent my kids deserve. I can overcome this addiction. I can live sober. I can forgive that person that hurt me. I can heal this broken heart. I can fulfill what God has called me to do. I can do all things. Through Christ, the one that I'm praising, God will do the miraculous in me and through me, because he that began a good work in me shall complete it. Amen. Some of you don't think as highly of yourselves as you ought to. I don't mean to just do a repeat of Friday. I'm going to do it again, though, because God is doing something in this church. Let me tell you something right now. The greatest commandment, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and strength. And the second is like it, Jesus said. Love your neighbor as yourself. Upon these rests all the law and all the prophets. I'm going to show you something here. We understand the love the Lord your God part. Amen. We take a deep breath when he says love your neighbor. And then he goes on to tell us that your neighbor ain't always the ones that you like. That you're supposed to love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good for them that hate you, pray for those who spitefully use you, right? Love the Lord your God. Love your neighbor. But how are you supposed to love your neighbor? As yourself. Oh, my God in heaven, I'm supposed to love myself. God ain't happy when I'm not happy with me. I'm supposed to love myself. I'm the apple of his eye. I was created in his image. I'm his child. Oh, come on now. Some of you have some.
Come on, Pastor.
Let me point something out. The Bible says, love your enemy. For most of you in here, your greatest enemy is you. The person looking back at you in the mirror. There is no one who hates you quite like you hate you. Come on now, I'm preaching to somebody. There's nobody that is as frustrated with you as you are frustrated with you. But God said, love your enemy. Bless them that curse you. You say, well, I made such a mess of things. Let me tell you something. God will turn your mess into a message.
Amen.
God ain't through with you. God loves you. You got to understand. So you say, well, God can't do that in my life. I'm such a mess. Have you ever read the Bible? Noah, the kids are learning about, she's out there measuring out Noah's ark right now. Noah was a drunk. But through God, he delivered mankind from destruction.
Amen.
Job went bankrupt. But through God, he gave the devil a black eye for the
Amen.
Ages. Joseph was abused as a child, but through God, he saved all the people of Israel in a time of famine. Gideon was a coward. But through God, he defeated a massive army with only 300 men. Samson was a womanizer. But through God, he brought down the house on the enemy. Jonah ran from God, but through God, he brought revival to Nineveh. Rahab was a prostitute, but through God, she helped deliver her family from Jericho. David was an adulterer and a murderer, but through God, he preserved the messianic line of Jesus. John the Baptist ate bugs. Would you hang out with someone eating bugs? Freaky. But through God, he was a voice crying in the wilderness. Matthew was a crooked IRS agent. But through God, he became a biographer of Jesus. Peter denied the Christ, but through God, opened the doors of the kingdom to all people. The disciples fell asleep while praying, but through God, they spread the gospel throughout the land. Martha worried about everything. She wasn't past the first point. She was a worrywart. But through God, she and her sister had OCD. She actually had CDO. She was so OCD, she put it in alphabetical order. Jesus shows up and she's cleaning the house. Hey, if Jesus showed up with right now, how many of you would run to his feet and how many would run and get a vacuum? Oh, Lord Jesus, Jesus is here. Fix this. Oh, this has got to look good. Who brought Bojangles into the house of God? Oh, Lord. That was Mary. She was OCD. Martha was a chronic worrier, but together they prepared the body of Christ for resurrection power.
Amen.
Do you see what I'm saying? Don't ever look at yourself as anything less than a fire starter. Your destiny is an anointing that God has prepared that only you can get. He wants to do great and awesome things in you, to you, and through you.
Amen.
And don't for a minute think you aren't worthy. You are a child of God. Give him praise today. I know some of you are looking at your watch right now and you're saying it's 12:30. Hey, don't worry. They ain't going to run out of steaks at the Lone Star. Teppan Yucky ain't going to run out of Chinese food. We got one more point.
And the sushi's still
undercooked. There's always one in the crowd, God. Oh, boy. If you'll grab hold of this, I am trying to tell you right now, I am guaranteeing you'll have 90% of your problems are going to dissolve if you'll be calm, trust in God, tell the devil to shut up, be confident in the word of God, what he has promised you. Hey, it may not have come to pass yet, but he told Habakkuk, though it has not yet come to pass, run with it because it's coming. Don't you think for a minute, God is not a liar. God is not a man that he should lie. His gifts and his callings are without revocation. If he said it, that settles it. You trust in the Lord your God. He's got perfect time. Let me tell you this right now. Number four, realize this. If you are calm, if you tell the devil to be quiet, if you'll be confident in the word of God, you will be complete. The fourth way that you can praise God, the fourth way you can bring him in into your situation is to be complete in him. Verse 19 of Philippians 4, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. If you will get to this place, I am here to tell you, be calm, tell the devil be quiet, be confident in what God said. He's going to show up and you are going to be complete.
Amen.
There is nothing you're going to lack because God is able to meet every need you have, spiritual, physical, emotional, financial, marital, whatever it is. My God. I want to tell someone today, I'm getting ready to wrap this up. I want you to know you were created to walk in blessing, not curses. God never created you to struggle with the things you're struggling with. You were meant to soar with the wings as eagles. I love Isaiah 40, 31. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They will mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. You know what? Oh, my God in heaven, the American bald eagle is such a beautiful picture of this. When a thunderstorm comes into the area, there are some bald eagles around here. There's a whole lot up in the Washington state area. Is Zoe here today? No? Tell her I talked about Washington today. And say, you missed it, but don't worry. Okay? You get up into the Alaska and things like that, and you see this bald eagle. Here's what happens. These phenomenal thunderstorms roll in. And the chickens and the turkeys run and hide for cover. It's a whole lot of pigeon religion in America. Soon as the thunderstorms start coming in, soon as the problems start coming in, we run and hide for cover. I don't know why God let this happen to me. I don't know how this happened. I don't know what I'm going to do. Not an eagle. When the black clouds of storms roll in, the American bald eagle is able to remember where he last saw the sun. And he will set flight and he will soar through that storm, not letting it shift him one iota. Until he punches through that storm and soars above.
Amen.
Soars into the heavenlies, feeling the presence, the light, and the warmth of the S-O-N. I'm here to tell you today, you can be complete if you'll do. Just be calm. Tell the storm, shut up. I'm going to rise above this thing. You know, the American bald eagle is the only animal that can soar into the second heaven. There have been jet airliners flying at 30,000 feet, and all of a sudden a fish hit their windshield because an eagle got startled and let go of what it had captured. That's why I don't want to be a turkey or a chicken that runs for cover. I want to know that I'm complete in God, that there's nothing that's going to set me back. There's nothing that's going to keep me down. You were created to be the head and not the tail. You are a brand plucked from the fire. In you resides the creative power of God that can open doors that no man can shut.
Yeah.
That calls things that are not as though they were. Whew. Here's what I want to leave you with. Mary and Martha, let's go back to them. I'm going to make this very quick. Don't worry. Lazarus, their brother, is dying. Some of you have a situation in your life that's dying right now. Your hope is dying. Your dream is dying. Your marriage is dying. Your body is dying. And Jesus shows up 4 days after he is dead. Martha comes out to Jesus and gives him a backhanded compliment. If you had been here, he wouldn't have died. In other words, where have you been? Why didn't you show up when I needed you? Mary doesn't come out at all. She stays in the house weeping. She's like, Jesus, I don't even want to look at you right now. Come on, let's get real. There's times we get that way with God. Where have you been, God? Why did you let this happen? They thought Jesus could heal up close and personal, but not from a distance. They were looking for a healing, but Jesus wanted to do a resurrection. I've come to tell someone today, don't worry. Tell the devil to shut up. Be confident in this very thing. It may look dead, but God ain't done.
Amen.
He said, hey, take me to the tomb. They said, hey, he's been in there 4 days. By now he stinks. Some of you right now are in church right now, and your attitude is, I'm preaching this, as God's Spirit is speaking to your heart, you're like, God, it's already dead, it's buried. I've put it out of sight, out of mind. I've buried it away. It stinks. I don't even want to look at it. Don't go there. Don't open that. Just let it lie. And God's saying, you don't understand. I want to resurrect something in your life.
Amen.
Don't worry. Tell the devil to be quiet. And be confident of this. God's not done with you yet.
Amen.
Though it has tarried, run with it. God has a plan and a purpose for you. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. When it seems 4 days dead, when it seems beyond hope, when it seems like there's no chance, rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice.
Amen.
Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. Lord, you are able. Lord, you are able. Here's what I'm going to do. You got a song. I know God's laid something on your heart. I told them to leave these right here. I am not going to beleaguer this point. There are chains all around here. And I'm telling somebody, don't worry. I'm telling somebody, let that lion know, shut your mouth. Be confident in this very thing. Don't lose your faith. It might be 4 days late, but God ain't done. All of these chains are laying up here, and God is saying, leave them up here, just like these kids did. There is power in the name of Jesus to break every bondage. And all he's saying is this, be calm, tell the devil be quiet, be confident, start praising me, let me show up in your life, let me show off in your life, and I'm going to do something for you like you've never imagined before. Just give me the chance, and I'll move in your situation.